Last time we talked about B'nai Korach as being a group who were the Levim who were singing in the Beit HaMikdash and the Mishkan, rather than Beit HaMikdash at that point. And they're marked as the authors of, I think, 11 of Tehillim. And what it meant to be, you're sort of taking that as the name of their group of B'nai Korach, the sons of Korach. You know, why would you name yourself after Korach? You know, one of rebellion. But the idea that what they represented was that Korach was, you know, wrong in the rebellion, but the underlying statement of Kol ha'edah kulam kedoshim t'cham Hashem, that all people are holy, that there are points where we have to rebel against authority, that's true, and that there was his grandfather was Shmuel, who was the beginning of the rebellion against authority, the Navi of destruction of the Mishkan. And that these Tehillim, I mean, we expect that to re represent something like that. Speaking truth to power. Well, the first one we're going to look at is Shir Mizmor de Korach is Tehillim Mem Chet. And we know that that's the Shir Shayom from Monday. If you look at it, it sounds like advertising copy. It's not the speaking truth to power, it's all pro government. It's all how wonderful Yerushalayim, how wonderful the king is. And it sounds like a very nice parak, not very negative at all. Shir Mizmor de Korach is a song for the sons of Korach. Gadol Hashem Lo Ma'od. God is great and greatly praised. Be'ir Elokeinu Har Kodesho, in the house and the city of our God, his holy mountain. Talk about Yerushalayim, obviously. Yifei Nof, the center of beauty, Masos Kol Aretz, the joy of the whole world, Har Tzion, Yarkatesa Tetzaphon on the northern side of Ir David, Kiryat Melachrav, the city of the great king. That's just wonderful. We love Yerushalayim, right? There's Mitzvah Dov explaining that. Yifei Nof means the Machoz, Yifei, the center of beauty. Yerushalayim is the center of beauty of the world. Masos Kol Aretz is the joy for the world. Har Tzion, Ha'omei B'Tzafon Yerushalayim. Har Tzion, where the Mikdash is the north of the first temple, Yerushalayim, which is basically centered around Ir David. Now it's on the east side. B'Tzafon Yerushalayim, here, Kiryat Melech Rav, it is the capital of the great, powerful king who David to David. And we see elsewhere in Tanakh, it's Kiryat David. The idea of Yerushalayim is Kiryat. But the Maamar says we're misinterpreting. This is not meant to be, oh, isn't Yerushalayim wonderful? This is meant to be almost ironic. Because it's introducing the rest of the parak. And it's true, Yerushalayim is praised for its beauty, the greatness of David, the Israelite king, but those who praise it that way are missing the point. This is the Maamar. Divrei explaining this parak tehillim, that those who praise Yerushalayim and say yafeh, how beautiful it is, even though Har Tzion has all of these high points, all of these characteristics, it's certainly beautiful, it's a great tourist attraction, Elokim, ohalim. That should be a hey there, not a that the place where the mountain is Yefemon. It's beautiful. It is a place of joy. Yerkiat Melech Rav is the capital of the great king. Shasham Ir Habirasha Melech Gadol is the capital of the great king. Despite that, all of these attributes, they are not the strong points of this place. Rak Ma Shelokim ba'amrnotel. That's the next pasuk. The next pasuk is Elokim ba'amrnotel. God is in his palaces. Nodela Miskav. He is what is known as what makes it a fortress, a stronghold. Al Deze, you know, Nodela Miskav, and that's because of this that it should be known as a refuge. Sheikar Achozek Shah, its essential strength. Meshelokim Shochem Rotes, because God's there. It's not about the king. About the Kohanim. Depurush al Mulam, that's why it says Mulam greatly praised. Shebzeh Yahluet Hashem. That's what they're because really what's important is praising God. Al Shachan Shekhinato B'Tzion. Who Miskabah, and that's what it's the fact that it is a refuge is because Hashem is there. It's not because of its physical nature of it, right? Ben Korach saying it's not about the king. We're not praising Yerushalayim as a city. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they go on and say the power of earthly kings, no matter how great they are, the Melech Rav, as it says here, it's irrelevant by the greatness of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the way Feivel Meltzer, who has this wonderful book called Pnei Sefer Tehillim. I quoted that a lot about Tehillim. That's it. Achen, Hatilah Hashem Elokei Israel. So this praise for Hashem as the God of Israel, but Hatilah Vehishtaphut L'Rigshei Ahava, and this the praise and this outpouring of love, the L'Ir HaElokim, to the city of God, Uchirat, united together. Praising Yerushalayim is praising Hashem. When the central points that bring these together is Pasuk Bet, second Pasuk, where it says, Gadol Hashem, God is praised in the city of our God. That you should understand that this expression, that God is great in the city of our God, has muvanim, Rabbim has many ways of understanding. Gadol Shem is great and is praised in the from the city, from Yerushalayim, and Gadol Mlohu al Hayot Irzu Ir Merkezit, Machriza et Gadlo et that is great because he is praised from Yerushalayim. And Gadol Mlohu al Asher Osele Irzu, al Asher Shamar Lev Hitzlan. That is great because Hashem protects Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the center of Israel and the Jewish people, but it's because that's where we serve Hashem. And so the parak continues on how all these the kings have no power before Hashem. Hinei ha-malachim no'adu, that the kings all assembled, avru yachdav, went together. Hima ra'o came to they saw, and they were astounded. Nifhalu nechpazu, they were terrified. They trembled. Rada'achazatam sham. Fear grabs hold of them there. Chel yoleda, trembling like a woman in giving birth, as a common expression in Tanakh. I've never done that, so I don't know how much pain that is. But that's the idea of being overcome by this, by forces out of your control. Ruach kadim tzaber aniyot Tashish, with an eastern wind. The ships of Tarshish are broken, and Tarshish clearly in Tanakh is some kind of city, some port on the Mediterranean, the way how they had ships. We don't know exactly where it is. It's where Yonah runs away, tries to run away to.
Yeah, I think it's Portugal.
There is a Tarsus evidently in Spain.
Oh.
Well, I mean, Portugal is already on the other side of the Straits of Gibraltar. I don't know if anybody had ships going out there. Past the Mediterranean, still a little far. There is a point where Eliyahu goes to Tarshish when there's a famine in Eretz Israel. So that seems a little too far away. So it's probably somewhere in modern Turkey, But
Oh.
anyway, clearly there are ports. Clearly there are great ships there. So an eastern wind that breaks the ships of Tarshish. Hasher Shamu Kein Ra'inu, as we've Shabbat, Kinner, Inu, the kings all say the way we're just as we've heard, we see it with our own eyes. Be Ira Hashem Tzvakot, the city of God, be Ira located in the city of our God. Elokim Yechonena Ad Olam, God protects it, sets it up forever, keeps it whole. Sell up, hold that thought. It's not clear whether this is meant to be an actual incident, this Malachim no Adu, assembly of kings. Was there a war that kings came in? Not clear because this got this ships thing, which Israel's never really been invaded by this from the sea. Or just, well, even though I do, it was an international conference when they came and they saw and they were impressed. There's one event in Tanakh that talks about Aniyot Tarshish being destroyed, and that's with Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, allied with the north. With Yisrael, and it says, Yehoshaphat asa aniyot Tarshish. Yehoshaphat built The ships of Tarshish. They were not coming from the Sea of Tarshish. This is some kind of description of the boats. Because he builds a Melechet Ophira. Because he bring oh, Ophira rather. He makes ships in order to go to Ophir, which is modern Somalia. So he's building them in Eilat. Lazahav, because he wants to get gold from Africa. Below Halak, and the ships never left. He Nishpuru on Yop Etzion Geber, because the ships were all destroyed in Etzion Geber, which is the old name for Eilat.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so they had a, there's a port in Eilat. And he had ships going south through the Red Sea, and that fleet was destroyed. Though they called those Aniyot Tarshish, doing some kind of boat that was meant that could go long distances, but doesn't fit the context here, which is of the Malachim, no Adu, that all these other kings together. But I would say it's more of a metaphor. Aniyot Tarshish, and here it's used here in Yeshaya when talking about Hashem in the end of days will bring down the haughty. Got this use of Oniyot Tarshish, the boats of Tarshish, the ships of Tarshish. Kiyom Hashem Tzvakot al Kol Ge'evareh, because the day is coming when God will manifest all those who are haughty and proud. Akon Nosev V'Shafel, everyone high and on over high and low. Akol Arzei Ba'alanon Haramim, on the cedars of Lebanon. Aramim v'Nasim, that were all high and mighty. Bakal Elonei Bashan, on the oaks of the Bashan, and clearly that's a metaphor. Al Kol Arim Ramim, God will rule over the high mountains. Kol Gavaot HaNesuot, in the hills. Al Kol Migdal Gavoa, and all tall towers. Al Kol Chomah B'Tzurah, and all walled fortresses. Al Kol Aniyot Tarshish, God will rule over the boats, ships of Tarshish. Kal Sichot HaChemda, and all the beautiful jewelry. Gavhut Adam, and God will bring low the pride of men, v'shafel Rome Anashim, and bring low the high and mighty men, v'nisgav, and God will reign alone. So Aniyot Tarshish is a symbol of high technology. That's man conquering the sea, man controls the world, and that control is only an illusion. Because that's the Shaber Aniyot. God can destroy all those ships. That if you look at Yerushalayim and say it's Kiryat Melech Rav, like that first pasuk, then that's transitory. That will pass. It's the pasuk says Shachvat Adam. God brings down the law. And it's only in that last pasuk, Kim Yechonena Ad Olam, God's one who sets that keeps Yerushalayim forever. And that's what Bnei Korach are saying. Okay. We have to quote Star Wars here, that when Darth Vader says, "Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. Technology is not going to save you." And then the second half of the Perek explains what it means to be a city of Hashem. Okay, Yerushalayim is a city of Hashem. It's not about the politics. And then it says, "Dimino we can envision God. We can envision your mercy in your halls. Kim, your fame, your name is what we praise you. Al aretz, to the ends of the earth. Tzedek, your right hand is full of justice. That's what it is. Yashem, it's about tzedek umishpat. And David understood that when he was the king and said, we had this in Shmuel Bet. David ruled over Israel. And the main part of his rule was doing mishpat zakat. As long as they've kept that, then Yerushalayim has something to be saved for. So Bnei Korach say, okay, now that we've established that, they invite everyone to celebrate Yerushalayim and how beautiful it is, and it's wonderful, but its appeal as a tourist attraction is that it is the source of mishpat zakat. So he ends the perek with, Yismach har Tzion, Tzion should rejoice, Tegelna b'not Yehuda, daughters of Yehuda, be happy, Laman Mishpatecha, because of your Mishpat. Suvut Siyo, go around Yerushalayim, surround it, Sapru Megdaleha, count all of its towers. Ever done the wall tour? We go around the top. I don't know, they still do that? It's safe?
I don't know. I haven't done it in a long time.
That's what we're telling you to do, right? Suvut Siyo, go around Yerushalayim. Look at all the towers. Pay attention to the walls. Paskurim Teha, go up its palaces. Lemantes Abrulu Dor Achronos. You can tell that to the next generation. Kizeh Elokim, because this is God, Elokeinu, this is what God means forever. V'hu yinagenu almut, and God will lead us. Literally, not until death. But the Aleppo Codex, a lot of other sources, have that as one word, meaning olamut, forever. Or gives it other meanings, this is the way Ibn Ezra puts it. Almut, forever. Right? As long as God's our king, then we are safe. Ubar Masort, Omer, Kishte Milot, or Kiri has two words, Ad Mutenu, until death. And he quotes from Moshe Omer, Umi Gezeret Ele. Almut means children, that from the root of Ele, meaning a child. He will guide us like children. Like Hashem guided us before. To disappear. Hashem will guide us invisibly from behind the scenes. We don't necessarily see him, but Hashem is there. And all those meanings obviously are part of what that expression means. And so that's what the Mizmor of B'nai Korach is all about. And the next one I'll look at is more of a lament. Talk about Yerushalayim, but how he's lost it. It's God. We want Yerushalayim. And it's Lamanatzeach Agitit, some kind of instrument, Libnei Korach, Mizmor. It's a song, but it's a sad one. Mayidot Mishkanoteach Hashem Tzvot. How beautiful is your dwelling place, God. Nichsafav Gam Kalatan Nafshi L'chatzerot Hashem. My soul yearns, desires for the courtyards of Hashem. Libi B'sari Yaranu Kalsa. Heart, my flesh, cry out to God. Gam tzipor matzav bayit, even the birds have a place. Udror ken la, and the wild birds have a nest. Asher shata efrachah, where it can leave, where the bird can leave its chicks. Et mizbechecha Hashem tzvakot, by your mizbeach, O God, Malki v'Elokai, you are my king and my God. Ashrei yeshivetecha od yaluchas selah. We know that pasuk. We add that to Tehillim, and that's to say, the happier those who can be in your house and who can still praise you. But that's not me, says the psalmist. There are those who are still with in the Beit Hashem. I can still praise you there. I am yichvasa gam kalatan afshi. My soul yearns for you, cries out for you. Didn't say where he is or why can't he get can he not get closer to his God, his king there. Right? He just says, Ashrei yeshivetecha, happy are those who are there. Selah, and that's the end of the first stanza. Because then he switches. Again, we just quote that first, that pasuk there, and that's great. But then he switches and says, there's a different kind of ashrei. Because there are other people who are happy. And that's those who struggle and suffer. That's where he is. Ashrei Adam. Oz lo bach. Happy are those whose strength is in their hope for you. Misilot bilvavam, that there's a path in their heart. Meaning that they're fighting a way forward. They're not there, but they're moving in the right direction. They're also ashrei. They're ovrei emek habacha, those who pass through the really the valley of tears. Ma'ayana ishitu. And they can make it, they can play, make Yishitumi, they make it. They place it, make it into a spring. They'll turn their literally veil of tears, I think that's an expression, into a ma'ayan. They'll bring the water to that. Gambrechot, and they will see it as brachot, that they will see that their moreh, their guide, Hashem, has enveloped it. In bracha. You can see that as you're struggling, that is another kind of ashrei, even if you're not there in the Beit HaMikdash. V'yalchu mechayel el chayel. They will go from strength to strength. That's an expression that gets quoted a lot. As you accomplish something, step one step at a time. Yireh Elokim b'tzion. They will achieve seeing Hashem b'tzion. Hashem Elokim tzvot. Shemat tefilati. O God, hear my prayer, Hazino Kai, okay, Yaakov Sela. Listen, God of Yaakov Sela. Hold that thought. End of the stanza. So who is he addressing? What is this supposed to be a tefillah about? Is it meant to be like after the Churban? That there is no Beit HaMikdash and he's hoping to get it back? Or is it still there, but he's in exile and can't get there? Not clear. So go to the next part. Elohim. God looks upon our shield. HaBeit God, look at your Mashiach, your anointed one. So implying that there is, in fact, a Magen Mashiach, that there is a Malchut Yisrael in power. This is not after the Churban. Because one day in your courtyard is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Bacharti does is still fifth Bevet. I would choose to be attached in the house of my God, Midura Belhe Rasha, to dwelling in the tents of the wicked. So if there is a Mashiach he's looking at, what is he complaining? Where is he? What's he talking about? So the Gemara Ma and Mako says that this Kitov Yom Bechatzerecha Me'elef is really God's comment to David. That Hashem says, I like you, David. I'd rather spend one day with you than 1,000 elsewhere. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Tov Yom Bechatzerecha Me'elef, meaning Tov Liv Yom Echad Shata Osek B'Torah Lufanai. Says that David, better one. I'd rather have one day with you learning Torah. Me'elef Olot Shatish Shlomo Bincha Lakriv Lufanai Al Gabim. Better than 1,000 offerings that your son's going to offer. I'd rather have you keeping the Torah than all the offerings in the Beit HaMikdash. And that makes it a B'nai Korach, right? That's this speaking truth of power, that it's not about the, he's looking at a Beit HaMikdash that exists, Beit Elohim. But he's saying, no, it's the Ohalei Rasha. He's looking at corruption that happened in Yerushalayim, about the corruption that was happening in the Beit HaMikdash. Now, David himself, we saw that in Tilmun Bet, complained about the corruption of Yerushalayim. We don't see that directly in Sefer Shmuel, but
but you see it in the Mishkan.
you definitely see the Mishkan. You'll see it later in Sefer Melechim all the time.
Yeah.
And we made the point that that metaphor that Natan HaNavi comes to David about the poor man with the sheep and the rich man who takes his sheep. That's really about Bathsheba.
Yeah.
David takes that literally, initially, implying that that was something that could happen, that those that the rich really were taking advantage of the poor, that this was something that David thought, okay, I have to deal with this. This is the problem. And then, I personally have to get involved, even though it's obvious what the halacha is supposed to be, because justice is not being done in this city. The important thing is the Akamish button. That's not happening. And this is Tehillim Perek Nun Hey, sorry, 55. When he says, Balad Hashem, Peleg Lashonam, God swallow up their divisive tongues, all their Lashon Hara. Ki ra'iti chamas ver'iv be'ir. So I've seen the violence and the disputes in this in the city. Yom v'layla yisoven v'al chamoteha. Day and night, I go around its walls. Kind of like the Priya Perek, we go around the wall and enjoy how beautiful Yerushalayim is. Let me describe, he's going around the walls and all, what does he see? V'avon v'amel. I see the sin and the suffering that's going on inside of it. Avot v'kirba, the destruction in the midst of my city. Lo yamish me'rechova tach u'mirma. And that deceit and lying ne never depart from its streets. Hopefully, it's a little bit of exaggeration, but still, there is corruption there. And he's saying that that's what B'nai Korach is saying. That's what's missing. That I want my Yerushalayim back, but it's not there. Okay, they're trying to get back to this place of Mishpat.com. And they end the parak. Kishemeshum again, Hashem Elokim, because God, you are the sun. You are the light for all of us. You are, in fact, what saves us. Then, you tell Hashem, God should get, grant us grace and honor, status. God will not withhold goodness for those who walk in perfection. Hashem Tzvot, Asher Bach, and the last Ashrei. Oh God, happy is the one who trusts in you. So we have three Ashreis here. Ashrei Yoshev Techa, with the privilege of being there. If you're not Ashrei Adam Ozlo Bach Mislop Lubam, happy those who are getting there. And then Ashrei Adam Botech Bach, happy those. You're not in Betecha, you don't see it coming, but just having faith in God. And that's got to be enough for right now. And the next Tehillah comes early in the Sefer. It's Tehillim Perek Mem Bet and Mem Gimel, because they really go together. They're both relatively short, and the second one doesn't have a coherent introduction. And it clearly has the same thing. So really it's one, it's two parakim, but it's one psalm. And it's got a refrain. Repeats it over and over again. And the refrain is here. It's Ma tishtoch, ma tishtoch achi nafshi v'temi alai. Psalmist is addressing his own soul. Why are you bowed down on my soul? Why are you moaning about me? Why are you crying? Stop crying and rejoice. Have faith in God, because we will still have a chance to praise Hashem, Yeshua Panav, with the salvation that is in front of him. He's telling himself, don't be so depressed. Cheer up. Because it starts out really similar to that previous paragraph. Right? Korach saying, I want to be as close to Hashem. That's what I want. I can't, I'm not there, but I want it. Ka'yel tarog alafikei mayim. Like, how do I translate ayel? Ibex?
Not any.
What? Those wild mountain goats.
Wild what?
Wild mountain goats, right?
Okay, yeah.
And again, like the goats are yearning for springs of water. Kein nafshi tarog elecha Elokim. So my soul yearns for you, O God. Like the animals in the desert looking for water. Sama nafshi Elokim lekelchai. My soul thirsts for you, thirsts for you. You are the Elokelchai, the living God. Your presence is there. That's what I'm thirsting for. Matayavo, when can I get there? When can I see the face of God? I was eating my own tears night and day. Because everyone else is telling me, is mocking me, saying, where is your God? I remember these. And I pour out my soul. Adam, it's like, oh, Ad Beit Elokim, I go it's hard to translate, in the cover that's moving, under the, under in the, among the crowd, I think is the way you translate to that. Let's go. I'm curious how Sephardia translates that. There we go. You have sach adadam, to pass with the throng, right, the crowds. And I remembered, I remember, and I pour out my soul when I go with the crowds to the Beit Elokim, but Korin, they're all singing song, Thanksgiving, Hamon Chogeg, the masses are partying, the Bachag. And then, and this is the refrain, Matisho, why, my soul, are you bowed over, bowed down, and complaining? Hochilakim, have faith in God, because we will yet in the future praise him for the salvations before him. Right? It's very poignant. Yearns that he's there, everyone else is mocking him. Where's your God? What have you got to show up for it? Because I will be with a crowd. I remember that. I could be remembering the past. right? Or the continuing presence, right? Present that I where was a time, but it's ki avort in the future. Or the continuing present. And I would pre the continuing present, meaning it's ongoing. I remember being able to thank God when I enter the sakh and the shelter with all these people. That even as I'm going into the Beit HaMikdash and I'm with everyone else, the Hamon Chogeg, everyone is part of the Chag. I'm there, it's in the Beit HaMikdash. Everyone's there for Aliyah LaRegel. And I still I hear them mocking Aliyah LaKim. I think it's the same parak. He's describing a situation. The Beit HaMikdash is standing. It's meaningless, right? It's been corrupted. It needs to restart. It's like in some kind of internal exile, and that's what he feels. He's in Israel. He's in Yerushalayim. He's in the Beit HaMikdash, but he's not there. Kind of like we just finished Chanukah. The story of Chanukah, Galut Yavan. It's called the Galut. The Beit Yisrael were in the. We're in Eretz Yisrael. There was an actual Beit HaMikdash throughout the time of the Yevanim. That's what the Sefer Maccabim said, right? That it, but the problem is that there's a statue of Zeus in the middle of the Beit HaMikdash. And this is a quote from Sefer Maccabim, and that it was that in the it was actually on the 20 on the 15th day of Kislev, Yakimu Shikutz Mishumam HaMizbach Hashem. They put a shikutz, an abomination on the Mizbeach. New Bamot, Balayari Yehudah Saviv, and they built altars to all the Greek gods around Yerushalayim, and that was a feel. That's a feeling that he's describing here, that he's in the mid, right? What they're those say Eilo came, they're Jews, they're Mithyavnim in that sense, and that's what he's complaining about. To make Korach like Shmuel, protesting the corruption of the Mishkan, well, as you said, right? That's they yearned for what the Beit HaMikdash once was. And that's what he means by the hodot, right? The promises are just like we eventually, they had the victory, and we have this holiday of Chanukah, the hodot, the hallel. Here, B'nai Korach, they'll get to the point of ododenu. We'll still get to the point of hodot. We'll get better. So then, B'nai Korach turned from looking at this.
That's interesting, Tony.
I'm sorry.
That it's interesting that it's still the Beit HaMikdash. It wasn't perfect. It was messy. That Hanukkah wasn't perfect.
Oh, Chanukah wasn't perfect, and even after they won, Chanukah wasn't perfect.
Right.
You know the story. I mean, they barely had anything. They had built a couple of stones of Beit HaMikdash. You know that menorah they lit is described as being seven spears stuck in a piece of wood. They couldn't afford gold to rebuild the real menorah, and then within a couple of years, they lost the Beit HaMikdash again.
Yeah, I knew that it wasn't like a
It
straight thing.
wasn't for a while longer until they actually got independence. But it was a corruption before that that B'nai Korach here are complaining about. And again, this is first Beit HaMikdash, obviously. And then he turns to Hashem and starts complaining. Elokai alay nafshi tishtocheo. God, my soul meditates, thinks, speaks about you. Alkenas Karech Me'eretz Yehuda. I remember you from the land of the Jordan. Charmonim Mehar Mitzar. I remember you from the Charmon and from the mountains of Tzoar. So that Charmon, of course, is Har Charmon or the Golan. Tzoar is a city at the southern tip of the Dead Sea.
Oh, okay.
It's where Lot runs away to after Sodom is destroyed.
Saddam,
Right. So basically, this Chermonim Mitzoar means from the north to south. It's a merism. That's our word of the day, meaning poetically enumerating a thing by its parts. Like when you say ladies and gentlemen for everything, day and night meaning always. So Chermonim Mitzoar means from north to south, the whole country, right? I remember you from the Jordan, going from the north from the Golan down to the south into Jordan. And it's equivalent of a more common phrase that we see in Tanakh all the time, and this is an example from Shmuel, the Vayidek Kol Yisrael midan of Ad Be'er Sheva, from Dan in the north, Be'er Sheva in the south. Knew that Shmuel, ki ne'eman Shmuel, the Navi, Hashem, that Shmuel was a Navi. But the rest of the Tanakh, we use the expression of Dan to Be'er Sheva, because that's where it sees where people live. This here is now really isolated places. isolated location. That's where he's saying, I am everywhere in Jerusalem where the people are not. In Israel, rather, where the people are not. So he had this internal exile problem. I'm in Israel, but I don't belong anywhere. I'm not part of the city. I'm not part of the people from Medar Be'er Sheva, from the Hermon or down by the Dead Sea. Okay? I'm here in Israel, but I don't belong.
Is this supposed to be David
This
talking or who's talking?
is B'nai Korach.
Oh, there's been a core, and that's
It's Shmuel's grandson.
one grandson. Okay.
Right, so Shmuel's grandson who took the name basically B'nai Korach, that's sort of the name of the band. You know, that he's kind of reenacting. He's living up to his notorious great 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 grandfather's comments about Kol Eidah Kulam Kedoshim, why are you lording yourselves over again? You know, talking about looking at the corruption that's happening and complaining about it. Then he continues, Dahom el Dahom kore l'kol tzinerecha. Deep calls to deep, the sound of your waterways. Tzinor literally means pipe. Kol mishperecha v'galotecha alai avoru, and your waves, your breakers are all piling on top of me. And Ruthie, you certainly recognize the expression Dahom el Dahom kore, deep calls unto deep.
Is that Aviva Zornberg?
Yes, that's Aviva
The Murmuring Deep.
The Murmuring Deep. She loves that.
Murmuring deep. That's her term. She quotes this line here. Okay, right. Deep calls to deep. The deep, right, with the sound of the waterways. Very mysterious pasuk. Nobody knows what it means. So Aviva Zornberg connects it to the Tahom, the primordial Tahom from creation. Right, it says, "Haita earth was null and void, the toe in the sense of primordial, unformed chaos." Tahom, and there's darkness on the Tahom. The spirit of God hovers over the waters, and she sees this Tahom is a portmanteau, right? This word put together of Tohu, which is the chaos, and Mahumam, Hamhum, or murmur. That's where she gets this murmur.
What's that word called when the word sounds like what it is?
An onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia, yeah.
Onomatopoeia, right. A murmur. So this is her words. Tohu, the appalling nature of this reality, is echoed in the word tahom. Normally translated the deep, the dark, worry mass that God's words transfigure. Tahom is, in the evocative version, Sarbe Frosh rendered, the murmuring deep. Hear the sound there. Poetic reading conveys some of the complex harmonics of Tahom. Hebrew roots hamam, hamahom, where meanings like humming, murmuring, restlessness, stirring, panic. A large register of tones and sounds and movements. She's very poetic. But the idea that what that here we have B'nai Korach describing trying to hear Hashem's voice. All he hears is the cold scenery. It's the sound of the chaos, the water symbolizing chaos. Right, it's the all he hears is this, the sound of the home. He's listening to white noise. All he's trying to tune in. No one ever knows what a radio is anymore, right? And trying to tune into an actual channel, but all you're hearing is static because you're trying to tune to an actual station. He's trying to hear somebody's voice, but all he hears is the chaos. He started the previous dance with Tzama Nafshi Lokim. He's looking for the Kel Chai, and then what he says now is, Yomam Yisav God. You command your chesed, your mercy, every day. Belaila shira imi, and at night, I shira imi. At night, I sing of you. Tfilala kel chayai. I pray the God of my life. Chayai. So he's changed. The previous stanza was kel chai, the living God. Now it's the God of my life. And I don't hear you as the living God. I don't hear your voice anymore. I'm praying for you, right? I'm davening, right? Belaila shira imi. I'm singing all the right things, but all I hear is static. That's the Tohom El Tohom Kore, the murmur. That's all I'm hearing. Right? He yearns for the Ayah, like Ariel, I'm looking for the water, metaphorically. But now that water, instead of being the water of life, it's a symbol of what he cannot attain. It's the roar of the world. It's drowning out his connection to Hashem. And he says, he's tefillah, he sings other Yomam Yisav Hashem Chasdo. He davens that, God, you're full of mercy. Sing Hashem's praises, but he's davening all the right words, but he gets nothing. So the next pasuk is, Omra, I speak Lakel Sali. I speak to God who's my rock. Lama shelachatani, why have you forgotten me? Lama kedar elecha, belachat oyev. Why is everything so dark? My relationship to you, as my enemies mock me. And this word kedar, darkness, is a metaphor for not seeing Hashem. And this is the Pasuk Micha uses the same metaphor where it talks about the idea that there will be a day where everyone's seeking Hashem and he won't be heard. This will be a night from prophecy. And you'll have darkness from any kind of magic, any kind of science. And the sun will rise on the Nevi'im, but the day will still be dark. The Nevi'im will still be in the dark. Kedar here, this darkness is another metaphor for not hearing God's voice. And that's what he's asking, why have you abandoned me? So he continues, Beretzach atzmotai, for pain mitzvah, my literally my bones are murdered. They're breaking my bones, my enemies are insulting me. But they tell me every day, Ayelokecha, where's your God? You keep praying, no one's listening to you. And then he ends with this kind of again, this hopeful refrain, Mata shochachi nafshi, why you bow down, Mata mi alai, why are you complaining? Have hope in God. Ki odeno yeshua panai, because it was still there will come a time when you will praise Hashem and see his salvation. And so the next part, which is actually the next parak, ends with this hopeful return. We will come back to Beit HaMikdash. Shavteni Elokim, Ribavi, God, judge me and fight my battles, Migoy Luchasid, from this ruthless nation, Meish Mirma V'alava, Tafateni, save me from deceitful men and deceitful and sinful men. Right? That's the problem here is the Ish Mirma, so that it says. It's a Lashon Hara, it's a betrayal, it's a lack of faith. That means that I can't connect to Hashem here. Yatalo kai muzai lama zanachtani, because you are my strength. Why have you abandoned me? Lama kedar etalech. Why am I walking in darkness without hearing your voice? Belachat ayev, as the enemy mocks me. Lach orcha bamitcha, send forth your light, your faith. Hema yinachuni, and they will guide me. Yivuni aharkachi, because they will bring me back. They will bring me back to your holy mountain, El Mishkanotecha, and your tents. Mizbach Elokim, I will come back to the Mizbeach, to the altar, and to the God, and to God of Samach Gili, and you will make me rejoice. Elokim, and I will thank you. I will praise you with my lyre, my God. So my soul, why are you bent over? Mata mi alai, why are you moaning? Ochilo kim, have faith in God. Ki odo denu, yeshuot panai velokai. We will yet have a chance to praise God, and see His salvation before me. Oh my God, King. And so that he ends with the idea that the reason why he's drowning in this murmuring deep, he can't hear the voice of Hashem because the ish. Because of this mirmava avla, that this lashon hara really is what destroys civilization. But there's hope, and we will get there in the end. We have to keep having that ochilu Elokim, have faith in God, and odo denu, and we will still be able to praise Him. So Bnei Korach end from this despondent yearning, well, on this note of hope. And we'll stop here.
Wow, heavy duty.